Unless you hate father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, even your own life. See, we can get stuck right there. It's very easily possible to get caught up with these words of Jesus where he says, unless you hate, and we say, really, does Jesus mean hate? What does he mean by hate? And then, of course, we know Jesus calls us to love one another, so we can just leave this passage there. Jesus did not really mean it, and move on. And that's what I do not want to do today. I think the key to understanding the demands that Jesus makes from disciples, the key is to put in the perspective of the two parables that are stuck between these demands. The two parables are the parable of this man who's about to build a tower, but he needs to make sure that he has all the resources and the end goal in mind before he can start. And same thing with a king marching into battle with 10,000 troops against a king that has 20,000 troops. So I think if we take these demands of discipleship in light of these parables, then I think we understand them just a little better. So here are my 3 points for today. And first, let me talk about the end goal. In the parables of the person constructing a tower without taking account of the cost, and the ruler marching into battle without taking account of the opposing troops, Jesus was asking his disciples never to take their eyes off the final goal. What's the final goal? Eternal life. That's our goal. And we cannot afford to take our eyes off that goal. If we take the eyes off the goal, guess what's at stake? Salvation. The other day, I was at a meeting with 7 other, who I want to call middle-aged and post-middle-aged people, and to my shame, excuse me, we were all men. And perhaps this would happen only in a meeting with men, but it was a gorgeous evening, and the scene through the large windows outside was beautiful, and suddenly, in the midst of a very important discussion, one of them said, "Oh, look, a white squirrel." And everybody, white squirrel. I thought I was in a kindergarten class. 7 men had digressed to the topic of black squirrels in Virginia, brown squirrels in Florida, white squirrels elsewhere, and 100 more things about squirrels. One of them even said something about racist squirrels because they were white and black. And here I am sitting and I'm saying, what just happened here? What just happened here? But why blame them? This can happen to all of us in life. We all have our squirrels, don't we? We can easily let our squirrels take our eyes off our discipleship. And that's the point Jesus is trying to make. Hence, Jesus says to us today, not father, not mother, not children, not wife, not profession, not wealth, not illness, not happiness, not even our own life should be able to distract us from following Jesus. And that's the key. Today, ask yourself the simple question, what are my white squirrels? Secondly, I want to talk about this very point from another perspective. From the perspective of the call of Jesus to discipleship. Folks, we have many calls in our lives, right? The call to pursue meaning in our lives, our marriage, my priesthood, families, our vocation, our work, our rest, our recreation. But I think what is being told to us today by Jesus is that all those are calls that are part of our vocation, but the most primary call is the call to follow Jesus. And all the other calls that we try to heed somehow must be part of our primary call to follow Jesus. Jesus's call is the most basic call. And here's the key thing that I'm trying to say. His call relativizes the claim that any other call has in our lives or upon us. The call to follow Jesus is the primary call, and all the other calls are only relative to the call that we have to follow Jesus. Hopefully, all our other calls, our work, our marriage, our family, our rest, our recreation, are all aiding our primary call to follow Jesus. But sometimes it does not. Now, this claim that Jesus has, the call of Jesus has on us, is something that we have voluntarily given to Jesus. It's not like Jesus has compelled us to follow him. No, we voluntarily follow him. If we choose to follow Jesus, we must be absolutely certain about the choice we have made. Because as we go through life, that choice may conflict with other possibilities. Jesus' claim upon our life must remain uncompromised. You hear me? Jesus' call and the claim that Jesus has upon us must remain uncompromised. And thirdly, I want to talk about the cross. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now, today, and for this week, I am going to invite you to look at the cross a little differently. Normally, the cross is in reference to suffering, right? Because the cross brought immense suffering to Jesus. So we think of the cross as something painful, something difficult, something that's unbearable that we have to carry in our lives, sometimes willingly, sometimes unwillingly. How many times we've said, oh, that's my cross? Now, I'm asking you to look at the cross not as a symbol of suffering, but as a symbol of goodness. And here's my rationale why. While Jesus' cross brought him immense suffering, the cross of Jesus also brought a lot of goodness to the world, isn't it? The cross of Jesus was not suffering for suffering's sake. The cross of Jesus was a symbol of the triumph of God's love. Jesus, by his cross, brought love to the world. The cross brought salvation to the world. The cross gave hope to the world. So yes, the cross can symbolize suffering, but I'm asking us to look at the cross as an opportunity to bring goodness to the world. Just like Jesus, whose cross brought salvation and love and goodness to the world. Maybe a few examples will help. So I want you to meet 3-year-old Brooklyn, and her image is on the screen over here. This screen is a little lighter than the other one, so I hope you see it, but this is 3-year-old Brooklyn. She's very fond of this garbage man. Every week, as he would pass on the garbage truck, Brooklyn would wave at him. One day, Brooklyn decided to make cupcakes for him. And guess what? It just happened to be his birthday. And that was the only gift that he had received that birthday. Or I wanted to meet Tiffany. This is Tiffany. Tiffany was targeting at, Tiffany was shopping at Target. Tiffany was shopping at Target, and suddenly she saw a mother of two, and she was struggling. Tiffany's mother had two children, a two-year-old and a two-month-old. And this is the first that the mother had gone grocery shopping with both her kids. And her worst fears came to pass. Both the children began to have a meltdown. Steps in Tiffany. Tiffany picks up the second grader, holds him close to her heart, calms him down, and just when the mother was about to just give up and go home, Tiffany helps the mother to finish her grocery shopping and go home peacefully. Later, the mother said of Tiffany, "A stranger became my angel." What I want you to meet this man, he received in a heart transplant the heart of a very young woman who died tragically. And this young woman's mother was grieving. This man came to know about the mother, and he invited her to come home, and he allowed her to hear this woman's daughter's heart beating in his chest. And that became a symbol for the mother that her daughter, that her heart was still beating. Do you know what I mean? That the cross can be looked at as a symbol of goodness. So when Jesus says to us, "Take up your cross and follow me," Jesus is not merely saying, "Suffer patiently." That's one way of looking at the cross. The other way of looking at the cross is, yes, but I can take up the cross of following Jesus and bringing goodness to the world. Three examples of people who did that. So I'm asking you, will you carry that cross this week? Will you take the cross of making love win? Will you take the cross of making people loved? Will you take up the cross of easing someone else's burden? Will you take up the cross of being an angel? Will you take up the cross of being Christ's presence to somebody in this world? Unless you carry your own cross and come after me, you cannot be my disciple. I pray that each one of us may carry the cross like Jesus did. When we have to suffer, yes, we carry a cross, but let's focus on the cross of the cross that brings goodness to the world, salvation to the world, Christ's presence to the world. Having said all that, Jesus left father, mother, brother, sister, and Jesus took up the cross, and Jesus gave us the Eucharist and brought us salvation. One man picked up his cross, and see what it did to the world. As we receive this Christ in the Eucharist today, please, along with Jesus, let us pick up our crosses. Let him have uncompromised claim upon our lives. Yes, let us answer the basic call of Jesus to take up our cross and follow him. People of God said,